Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 150. And with me to start the show is somebody who will be on the show probably when we really reach the 200s, hopefully, if my plans come to fruition. It's Miss Isabella Pearson.
Hi.
Isabella, what have we just watched?
Doctor Who.
I bet you don't know the name of the story, though. Dreamland, it was called.
Yeah, I can't remember it.
I can see that. So, okay, can you... What happened? I'll see if you're any better than you were last time you were on the show. What happened to the story? Can you remember the story? We have only just watched it a few seconds ago, so this will be interesting. How your synopsising goes? What was the story we just watched? How did it? Oh, just explain.
Right. The first bit was the mother alien. Her ship went down to Earth. I can't remember anything else.
Yeah, that's pretty rubbish, really, isn't it?
I can't remember.
But still better than what you normally do on the show. Let's see if I can jog your memory. Ship crashes. Doctor turns up at a cafe. Right, pick it up from there. Doctor Pitt turned up at a cafe, didn't he?
They went to Dreamland.
Right, okay.
And I can't remember anything else again.
So don't eat that toy, please. So what was Dreamland then?
Dreamland was like there were so many soldiers and monsters and monsters. And I can't remember what the monster's name was.
No, don't worry, because I can't remember the name of the monster either. So right. What about the American colonel? What was his name?
Jimmy.
No, Jimmy was the...
person.
The man that was with the doctor. What about the girl's name? Do you remember her name?
No.
No, good, right.
I remember Jimmy.
You do?
I just remember Jimmy.
Okay. He was the Indian bloke that was travelling around with Cassie, which is the girl who actually played by Georgia Moffat as David Tennant's wife.
Jimmy's mum.
Jimmy's mum?
Jimmy's dad.
Who's Jimmy's dad?
Jimmy's dad is like an Indian.
Yeah, but he was his granddad.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, don't eat that, whatever it is. What is
my
it?
Toy!
Well, don't eat it. So, okay. Can you remember anything else of the story? Wait, well, I picked up. They went to Dreamland, okay.
Right. I remember something else. They were going to destroy the girl's land.
The girl's land?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the alien's land?
No! The monsters!
The monsters were going to destroy...
Not the alien's land. The girl which was with the doctor.
Oh, Earth, you mean? As in where we live.
Yes! Yes! Silly
okay.
Dad.
That's unusual, isn't it, for a Doctor Who thing, for the baddies to want to destroy Earth? That's not, doesn't happen very often, does it?
Yeah, then we'll be dead.
Clearly. Okay, so we found out what the aliens want to do.
And the aliens wanted to... And the monsters wanted to kill the aliens' land. He did.
Yes. Do you have to take a drink of milk at this precise moment?
Okay. Thirsty!
So, okay, so what happened then? How did they get out of all these problems?
They plugged the big thing in, and they didn't like the sound.
What
the monsters.
It? The monsters, okay.
They didn't like
the
it.
Monsters weren't very scary, though, were they?
They weren't a bit.
They were only cartoon monsters, though.
I'm scared of them. So, okay. I'm even scared of cartoons.
You're scared of cartoons?
Yes.
Okay. So, on the whole, bearing in mind that this originally was supposed to be shown in little parts, it's the first time I've ever seen it as one whole story. What did you think of Dreamland? The story, not the place where they were. What do you think of this story? Never seen it before, have you? So, what do you think?
A little bit scary.
Well, you only really found the monsters scary, is it?
Bit good when the monsters are not there.
Good when the monsters aren't there?
Yeah.
But surely the fact that the
monsters... And bad when the monsters are there.
But surely the monsters being scary makes it quite good, doesn't it?
No.
Okay.
Now can we stop?
Yes, I suppose so.
Yeah!
Thank you, Isabella. Oh, right, here we are. It's Robert Haynes.
Hello.
It's Mary Lang.
Some people are born crate. Others have crates thrust upon them.
It's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Sorry, I can't salute, but I seem to be strapped to the table.
And it's this...
I'm gonna get that one.
Therese Parton.
The shoes, they fit perfectly. I had to go for that.
I couldn't think of any. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and I forgot to record my backup microphone, so that's going to be a slight delay there, so let's hope the other one records okay, otherwise it's going to be a very odd introduction indeed. And here we are, I've got some bad news.
What?
I cocked up the time zones and Daphne isn't with us this week.
Oh, no.
I thought it was 10 hours, when in fact it was 9 hours. She was waiting by her Skype for 20 minutes, I didn't turn up, and therefore, there's no Daphne. We tried to reschedule it for 2 weeks' time, but Gally's on in 2 weeks' time. She's got pneumonia anyway, so she probably wouldn't have been able to be on very long, so a bit of serendipity. So I'm trying to reschedule it again. So it may and probably will happen at some point, just don't quite know when. I knew I should have mentioned it last week. I knew that always is going to put the kibosh on things, isn't it? But...
Yeah.
She will arrive at some point on the 20 Megabyte podcast and then realise that she probably shouldn't have done it in the first place after being subjected to various innuendos and...
you could say that after she's been on it.
No. After mentionings of podcasts she's been on as well, Kirby, eh?
Well, I had some really good questions for her, so I'm disappointed.
She'll be back. She'll be back, Mary. Don't worry. You can save your questions and think up some even more... you know, interesting ones to add to the... I'm sure your questions are interesting. Oh, I'll shut up. Right, I've had a really bad week.
You tried to be tactful.
Right. Do you remember there's a girl who used to be on this podcast? Alicia Pearson, do you remember her? She used to be on the show a long time ago. Well, over the weekend...
Really?
She
went, sort of name.
On Friday, she went for a sleepover with her friend and just sort of had a sleepover and watched films and did what you're supposed to
do. The one she shouldn't have gone to?
No, she was allowed to go. This was in Newport. It's a different girl. Okay. Normal type sleepover. The next night she went to stay at a friend's house and was going to a party. We knew she was going to a party. She went to this party. Anyway, me and Deb thought, well, this is great. We've got the house to ourselves. So we sort of settled down, watched a film called, I think it was the Wedding Video. Very good film, actually. What do you mean, what?
Was it one of your own videos?
No, it's a film called The Wedding Video. It's a movie.
Shot by you.
I've heard of... getting too much into your work, but good grief.
Be quiet. It's starring Rufus Hound and...
Busman's Holiday.
And somebody who was in Doctor Who.
Oh.
Well that's
remember,
always...
Right, let's see if you can work it out. Let's see if you remember the robots in the Asylum of the Daleks. Right, who were the actors playing the robots?
I don't know their names.
Mitchell and Webb?
Right at the top of our heads.
I can't think of the names.
Mitchell and Webb? David Mitchell?
That was from Dinosaurs in a Spaceship.
Oh,
yeah,
Blast.
Dinosaurs in a Spaceship.
Yeah, that's why you were...
Blast!
They were only the voices.
Oh, okay.
It's all your fault. All right.
They
you remember...
were just the voices, though, weren't
Thank
they?
Thank you, yeah. The voices of the robots in Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. Good grief.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
Yeah, if you had said that...
All right. All right, thank you. As if I don't feel bad enough. Anyway, so the actor who plays the Webb one. Yeah, not the Mitchell one. Not the Mitchell one who hates Doctor Who. The other one. Yeah?
Like we knew.
He was the star of the film, along with Rufus Hound. Yes, sorry. I had a little mental block then. And there's a few. And also, the stepfather of the bride was also a Doctor Who actor from the best of the... the last of the Key to Time. I say best, but he was one of the best characters in it. And he's the one that gave the Doctor his... gave the Doctor his name, allegedly. Do you remember? He gave the Doctor a name. He's supposed to be an old friend of him. Like a mechanic or something.
Oh, Divis Drax, the... Is that the guy who played Drax?
I don't know, but he was a very old friend of the Doctor from Gallifrey and knew who he was.
Yeah, that's
and
the called... guy, Drax.
Yeah, but it's him. He played the father...
It was Cockney, wasn't he?
The stepfather of the bride in the film. Anyway, it's a good film, actually. If you ever get a chance to watch the wedding video, really good film. Anyway, we watched that and had a couple of bottles of wine each. No, that's more of a bottle of wine, or maybe three quarters of a bottle of wine each, and went to bed and got off to sleep. And
that
suddenly,
was that wine you posted on.
Yes, what was left of it, anyway.
£3.99.
Yes,
bottle,
that's right, yes. Well, I got it for less than that because I'll get a discount at the co-op. Anyway, so went to bed, heard this noise in my dreams, and I realised it wasn't actually in my dreams, and sort of, so what dog's barking at? I thought, oh no, excuse me, my phone's gone off. It was work saying, because obviously in the middle of the night alarms can go off at work, and being a key holder I have to go down and sort it out, and I thought, oh no, that's what it was. I went down, I was looking for my phone, and then the doorbell went. This is midnight. What the blimey, what's going on here? It's midnight. I thought, oh god, what's happened to the police? It wasn't the police, but I thought it was going to be. So I opened the door up, and suddenly Alicia burst through, knocking me flying. I'm there on my t-shirt and underpants, and this bloke and his daughter were standing there, and I was trying to hide around the corner in my shirt, t-shirt and underpants. Alicia, and then she said the story that what had happened was Alicia got a bit drunk and was sick everywhere and blah 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 blah, and the boy whose party it was taken to hospital with alcoholic poisoning, and worst thing of all was the fact that her phone had gone missing. So anyway, she goes off to bed and collapses in bed, and I go to my phone and use Find iPhone to see if there's any trace of her phone, and it flags up that it's in a road called Clarence Road in Newport. So it went green to grey very quickly, and I couldn't get anything more out of it from there. So anyway, I went to bed, couldn't get off to sleep. 3:30 this morning, eventually probably did get off, and I was woken up at 6:30 by everybody, Alicia bouncing around saying, I want my phone back. So I phoned the police up at 7, gave them all I knew about it. They said that they would go around and check every house in Clarence Road. Actually drove up to Clarence Road and used the satellite navigation device on the phone to match up where the two dots were, where her phone had been, and where we were, were in the car, which showed it to be at number 50. Along that road, but obviously we couldn't go and knock on the door or anything, but we more or less knew where it was. And then I went to the house where the party was. The father had been looking for it. So anyway, eventually I got to work, and then I got a phone call saying I had to go and look for this phone, like I said, and we left it at that. And then mid-afternoon I got a phone call to say that the phone was back. Now what had happened was the girlfriend of the boy who got too drunk had managed to get hold of the phone again from somebody called Ollie, who had taken the phone, she got a phone back without its SIM card. Now this nipper Ollie has stolen Alicia's phone. Ooh. It's an iPhone 5. He's stolen the phone. He's got scared because the police have knocked on his door saying somebody down this road has stolen a phone, given it back to this girl who's then passed it, because all Alicia's friends are sort of communicating to each other. You know, where's his phone? And he's got scared and given it back. But what about the SIM card? The SIM card has been blocked by Vodafone. But anyway, I've had to phone the police up tonight. But this is why I was a bit late getting on with you lot, because I was just trying to convey to them the fact we got the phone back minus its SIM card, and we know the name of the nipper. I don't really care if they go around and read him the Riot Act. He shouldn't go around stealing people's iPhones. Alicia may well get a bit of stick at school tomorrow because of this nipper getting... But he's a charismatic high school kid anyway, so it doesn't really matter. He doesn't go to her school, but she's probably got a few mutual friends. But I don't care. You shouldn't go around stealing people's phones. So this is what we've had to put up with, obviously.
This is modern technology. Wonderful.
Well, the fact that I was able to trace where it was before he took the SIM card. It's a bit of luck, actually, because if he hadn't switched it on before taking the SIM card out, it would never have left a trace of it being at Clarence Road.
Oh.
Yeah, but aren't you lucky, though, that the Isle of Wight's only 4 square miles?
I think you need to Google that again, actually, and see if you can look at it. It was 5 miles between our house and Clarence Road.
So it's 5 square miles.
No, that's because Newport is sort of to the middle and top. Oh, never mind. Not going to get into that argument. So yeah, that's been a bit stressful. I'm just glad she's got her phone back, but I've got to go up to Vodafone tomorrow to get a new.
It's not cheap, is it?
Well, no, the SIM cards are free, but it's just
talking about the phone.
No, the five. No, £600 an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ouch.
So we were very nearly.
This is why I don't have a smartphone.
This is why I very nearly was phoning
Same here.
Insurance people and getting a replacement plus £100 of excess. It would have cost if I had to go down that route.
I finished Sharda.
Did you? I've not seen it before.
I just finished the whole Legacy box set.
I haven't watched Sharda from the DVD yet. There's loads of most of the ones I haven't watched, actually.
It's the same as the VHS, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is.
I've got a copy of VHS transferred to DVD. But
yeah, I've got that.
It's exactly the same.
Thanks.
Well, does it have
exactly
info?
The same.
Thank you, Robert.
Does it have
except for the infotext, yes.
And it's what about
no spoilers, then?
No commentary.
No spoilers,
darn,
either.
No spoilers if you've already seen it.
Well, you've just told me there's no comment. I haven't seen my DVD. I've seen the extras on the DVD, but I haven't actually got around to watching the.
If you, Shada is one of the most known of unknown episode of all. I mean, there's how many different versions of it now?
I don't know.
there's the big finish audio, which is the same as the.
It's a flash
version,
wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. It's the VHS version. There's
one
Ian
of them's
Levine's
got Richard E in it.
Unseen.
Richard E's in it, isn't he? Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, that's in the other one. No. You're thinking of the Scream of the Sharker.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure he did a version of Sharda.
Unless he's one of the Time Lords, because I've only watched a bit of the first episode of the flash version.
God.
Save every one of us.
Anyway, sorry about this, Mary. You're starting to zone out. I can tell. Just like to say, it's
I've
nothing
read the book,
to,
but I haven't
nothing
heard
to do
the
with me.
Big Finish one or seen it yet.
What did come through the post though this week?
And there's the.
I mean, the other version is Paul McGann, not.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the flash version.
Right.
Maybe I'll
no, what
wrong.
I want to know is, at what point have the DVDs or whatever form these Doctor Who episodes have taken, have they taken them far enough with enough info text and enough commentary that now it begins to be worth investing in them?
Be putting out new versions. Like you said to me on Facebook last night, I was grumbling because I wish there were info text on the new Who DVD.
I was
grateful as I was watching the Doctor Who movie last night that it had info text.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'd just like to say that it had to happen one day, I was wrong. I mean, it doesn't happen. Well, it's taken all this time. Either I was wrong that Richard E was not in Sharda. Okay, I admit it's taken 150 episodes for me to get something wrong on this podcast.
He was in Scream of the Sharker. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, but I thought you did that as well. But never mind. I was wrong. Let's move on.
He's in the Snowman, wasn't he?
Thank you for that. Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that landed through my letterbox yesterday, in fact, was. The Reign of Terror DVD, which I still haven't watched yet, but I'm thoroughly looking forward to looking at.
Did
with his animated episodes. No, it came from it came from the letterbox and rattled, so obviously
terrible.
The disc wasn't actually
Reign
connected
of Terror?
Correctly to the.
That was terrible, Robert.
Now, Adam, who do you order all these DVDs from that they arrive so timely?
But that wasn't very timely. That was a week late. You see, if I'd ordered it from whoone.co.uk, I would have got it instantly. But I ordered it from play.com and had to wait a week. Even though I pre-ordered it, I had to wait a week. I got it a week after it came out. If I'd got it from whoone.co.uk... And you ask yourself, so why didn't I get it from whoone.co.uk? Because on this occasion, I was ordering some non-Doctor Who DVDs with it. so I thought I might as well get the whole bundle together.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want Doctor Who stuff specifically, go to whoone.co.uk. I think I segued that really, really well. Thank you, Mary. Right. Sorry, Mary. Yes. If you'd like to relay to the listeners what the web address is.
You're talking to me?
Yeah, well, your name's Mary. I'm pretty sure it says Mary on there.
Okay, well, brace yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, whoone.co.uk.
I feel rather disappointed.
Yay! Woo! Points, I get points.
Clear?
Well done.
Not whoone.com.au.
Oh, shut up. Right.
I didn't know they had a shop here.
Once everybody gets an ability to watch that reconstructed with animation thing, we'll review it. And I don't care. I'm not going to schedule it for any particular time, but we're going to have to watch it because I haven't seen it like that before. So, everybody, please let me know when you're able to access The Reign of Terror with animated episodes so we can all watch it and enjoy it.
I'm curious.
I know how well that works.
Pardon?
I think it'll be about a week's time before it'll be over here then.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Well, I don't know when I'll be able to get it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
When you can, just let me know. I didn't. There's no time limit. Just when you've all got it, we will watch it. Anyway, one thing you will be unaware of is that Isabella opened the show with me this week, and she and I. Well, she did a very brief review of the story we're going to talk about now, which is Dreamland. Now. I'm at a disadvantage, really, because Dreamland is recorded on the Skybox, and I'm unable to watch it at the moment, so I'm going to have to try and see how I go with that. I will say it's a very fast-moving thing, because obviously it was supposed to be broadcast in how many parts? Seven? I think it's seven.
Six.
Oh, it was
six
parts.
Yeah, there was 1 12-minute episode followed by six-minute episodes.
Yeah.
5 6-minute episodes.
So basically, they've got each of these episodes has lots of action and lots of cliffhangers. So therefore, if you watch it in an omnibus, it does move along at quite a good pace. Now,
I only saw the omnibus because that was all that was available on DVD.
I actually, having watched it in both, I prefer the omnibus. I don't normally prefer
omnibuses. That's all I saw on YouTube was the omnibus version.
Yeah, I think, as I said, on this occasion, doesn't work on other occasions, but on this occasion, the omnibus works really well for me. Anyway, it starts off with some spaceship crashing on Earth somewhere, and then we see the sign, a very conveniently placed sign, saying that it was Roswell, I think it was, or something like that. And then there's a cafe with some... And the only thing you say about that the human animations aren't particularly good. You can tell who the character is. The doctor's
the
doctor.
The human animation is rubbish.
Yeah.
Rubbish. Yep. Rubbish.
Yeah. It's a shame. But it does look quite pretty in high definition.
As they walk along, they slide across the floor.
I know. It's awful. It looked like David Tennant was doing Michael Jackson.
which is rather strange because all the other characters in the story are actually quite good. Even the robots that appear in Sarah Jane Adventures, the Dread
Men in Black, yes.
You know, they look quite good. But anyway, back to forgetting all that because it does stand out. The faces are they just look too unlifelike. You know, there's not enough expression in the faces. They're very stiff. They've got the mouths are very stiff. Yeah.
Like this animation better than Infinite Quest.
Yeah. Same here.
There was more movement in Infinite Quest, but it was okay. Infinite Quest is okay. Well, I prefer this as a production better than Infinite Quest.
Anyway. Yeah,
but
I do.
Moving on.
I could watch this one a second time.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and see Infinite Quest at all at any time.
Right.
We'll summarize it before talking through the story. I'm just trying to see about how well I'll do with this off the top of my head. The doctor arrives in the cafe where this sort of Native American. I was going to say Indian.
Playing that might confuse a character.
Yes, his current wife playing a very good American accent.
Wife, yeah.
Jenny?
Was it quite a good American accent?
Georgia Moffat. Yeah, I was.
Well, she would do because her mother's American. Yeah. She should be able to do the American accent quite. I'm pretty sure that Sandra Dickinson.
Perry's.
I'm pretty sure Sandra Dickinson comes from California.
And she has a more pleasant voice than.
I'll have to Wikipedia that one to make absolutely sure.
She was putting on a bit of a lisp too, wasn't she?
Was
I noticed.
Well, yes. Well, maybe Sandra Dickinson's got a bit of a lisp. Sandra Dickinson, of course, is her mother. All right, Sandra. I'm going to Wikipedia this. Sandra. She has very squeaky. I just want to say, if I was right, that she came from California. Dick.
Trillion, Kirby. Trillion from.
Yes, I know.
Hitchhikes.
I know.
Yeah. Right, he's going to know. He's going to know that one. He really is. But
there's one of the
I got it
episodes.
Wrong.
I love the scene with the dish of the day, where he's got Peter Davison, and also his wife at the time is right there in the same scene. And
by the way, I got it wrong. She was actually born in some place called Washington, D.C. Don't know where that is. It was apparently in the United States. United
States.
States. United States. Some little dive somewhere.
America.
Pardon?
Anyway. I'm having fun with that.
America. Goes for a spin. That's why I joined.
You know,
America sounds like
a
spice.
I've got the Dreamland running right now.
You have me at a disadvantage.
There, no one's hair moves. It's like they. it is the 50s, so I guess they could have.
I think most of the time, in cartoon animations, the hair tends to move a bit too much. If you ever watch Tarzan, the hair's like swinging around as if it's all like, you know.
Well, what about Brave?
When you talk to someone, your hair doesn't really move that much. In Disney cartoons, when they can be bothered to draw it sort of whips around like a load of spaghetti. You know, it's and when I say spaghetti, I mean cooked spaghetti rather than the uncooked version. Anyway.
Now, Kirby, we all just talked about the animation. You hate it; we don't mind it. So,
hang on, we're summarising. We haven't even got to the blimmin' end of the first episode. To the middle of it. Anyway, the Doctor's in the bar. And he finds this gadgety thing, and then touches it, and then is this when the Dread character turns up at the door and says, "I want that."
Yes.
Yeah. And the Doctor does something with it and gets away. And they jump in a van, I think, do they? Okay, and then drive off.
They jump in
the machine, doesn't he?
Jimmy Stalkingwolf's truck.
That's a great name, though. Jimmy Stalkingwolf. I like that. That's a really good character.
Yes.
Anyway, so then they meet up with, I think, one of the alien things. Now, the alien thing scared
They're
Isabella.
Cypher Rock's battle drones.
Yeah, but they scared Isabella. And this is a cartoon. Isabella found them scary.
Really? Okay.
Anyway, so we meet up this alien who's very mwahaha sort of baddie, but still very good. That's David Warner, I believe.
I like the way that. Well, not yet. The battle drone is not David Warner.
Which one's David Warner?
Lord Aslock.
That's a Lord Aslock. Yeah, great name again. Great Doctor Who villain
name. I like
the way
that their eyes. The circular eye blinking is really cool.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's such a stark contrast, isn't it? That the human characters were crap, but the alien characters are really, really good.
And the noise when they blink is really cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I made notes on that, how much I like that. Well, you know, maybe doing the aliens was interesting. Maybe doing humans is boring. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose we accept it more and we don't recognise the alien in it. You know, if they tried to render a Dalek, it might look so good. I don't know. But anyway, so. Yeah, take it on from here. I've got up to the bit where they meet up with the battle drone and they get attacked. And how do they get away?
The army comes and takes them to see Colonel Stark.
Yeah, Colonel Stark. Yes, now.
And Colonel Stark obviously reincarnates in about 15 years and becomes Richard Nixon.
Yes.
Are you saying it's the same actor?
Yes, yeah, Stuart Milligan.
Well, there you go.
He's cool. Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so
sound very, very similar too.
So very soon after arriving at this base, we discover that he's in cahoots with these aliens.
With David Warner, yes.
Yeah. He's very mwahaha, of course, which always lends itself well to this sort of production.
And the doctor gets the doctor and company get struck to tables.
Yes.
Yeah, you put my face and I couldn't use it.
But they get away because of Harry Houdini.
Hey, you know, that did anyone notice that that was really a strange way of having the valve to turn on the gas inside the room where
it
the gas
was? I know. Yes.
It's the sort of thing you'd find in a Scooby-Doo story, don't you think?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Precisely.
And because it was a cartoon, we forgave it. Also, you've got to bear in mind that being these short episodes, they've got to have the solution nearby, otherwise it just drags it out for too long. But anyway, so they get out of the thing because he uses a little trick he learnt from Harry Houdini, a la the third Doctor in Planet of Spiders. Yes.
And Zygons.
Thank you. But at least he managed to remember Houdini's name, unlike the third Doctor, who couldn't quite remember Houdini's name while he was getting out of his trappings. And of course, they turn off the gas.
Spiders.
Yeah, they turn off the gas and escape. There's lots of sort of escaping, getting caught, running, escaping, getting caught, running, escaping, getting caught in this story. Is it? I think they do it 6 times, funny enough, in this story.
I think they do it once in each episode.
Run, escape.
One thing about this escape is it's the good old classic go through the ventilation duct.
Yeah, ventilation duct,
Die Hard.
I thought the lift, I like that the platform lift was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because it went up such a long way.
That reminded me of the platform lift in Genesis of the Daleks.
But the way it went up so quick, I would have thought that they would have collapsed onto the ground with a G-force.
That's what she said.
Did she? What? You mean Cassie said that, or? No? Okay.
No.
By the way, I watched this in HD. It looked really good, in some ways. The detail of all the things like her name badge and stuff like that. Be quiet. Anyway, so the platform. They end up on the surface where they get caught again, and then they have to run again. Help! I'm stuck.
They end up finding one of the grey aliens.
Oh, that's right. What, out with Indians? Because we meet
Do you remember the name?
Jimmy's granddad.
Babesh Mantilax.
Yeah, that was a really awkward name, wasn't it?
No, yeah. The one they run across is...
That was a female that's trapped.
Saruba Vilak, or Vilak, or something like that. Anyway, it's
your fancy name around.
What's her name?
Cassie?
Lisa Patman.
Yeah,
Bernice Summerfield. Yeah, it's Bernice Summerfield.
Yeah.
Okay, but we
is
forgot
the female alien.
We forgot to mention Jimmy's granddad, the Native American bloke.
Jimmy.
Oh, with the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they shoot the robots at all exactly
Clark
the right places.
Peters. Well, that doesn't happen. Ah. Yeah, we haven't gotten that far,
aren't we? I'll carry on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. You've got that great line, haven't you? When he says,
oh, "That's right," because the first alien is actually. Incarcerated by Stark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Now I know. Yeah. And okay. Right. Got you there. So then, what happens after that? Then, after we find the first alien who's living with the American,
they get captured again, and for some reason, the army takes them to what?
What? I don't know.
What was that?
It was my chair creaking. It was my chair. Creaking. Look, I can do it now.
I blame the chair.
That's a chair. Yeah? Chair creaking.
Ooh. He's going to use that excuse from now on, you know.
Uh-huh.
To cover
anyway,
up other things. He's doing.
For some reason, the army takes the doctor and his companions through the hangar where a reconstruction of a UFO is.
They take it.
Which, by the way, it's the exact same plan you... plans for the UFO as they use later in Sarah Jane Adventures.
Ah, and this is the one where the doctor gets into it and flies off, and they say something like,
right.
You know, how come he gets in there and flies off, manages to get it moving, but the American, you know, army couldn't do it for several years.
Figure it out, right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not as he appears.
The blueprints for the alien ship were used in Prisoner of the Jadoon.
I just remembered the line I was going to say
at
the beginning of the show.
What?
Can you stop calling me Doc?
About Dredd.
It's Doctor.
Yes. Oh, and he says, you're not Bugs Bunny, doesn't he?
Yes, that's really good.
Yeah. The Dreadline.
Dreadline?
Oh, yes.
Or Dreadlocks?
About... No. About Dread, Mr. Dread, Mr. Fear, Mr. Apprehension, or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. The Alliance of Shades.
So, sorry, I did rather interrupt you there. So, yes, where do we get up to?
They crash
into the that's right, they crash the spaceship. Yes, I remember now, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is where they meet the Dread robots come and just about to kill them.
The Alliance of Shades.
Yeah. That's right. And then, of course, this is where we meet the granddad of Jimmy, who fires some arrows at them.
Oh, that's later.
What?
Yeah.
They've
got
to get to Solitude first.
Yeah, they get to Solitude and they go...
Oh, yes! Now, Solitude, didn't that remind you, the name-wise, of Mercy? It's a similar sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if they're nearby.
You mean
to each other, I mean.
Sure.
Neighbouring towns or something.
Mm.
Carry on.
Mercy, yeah.
The other one.
Yeah, carry on.
So anyway, Jimmy... gets captured by a whatever the bug creatures are.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that bit now. Yeah. You're jogging my memory. All right, there's no need for that.
And let's see.
He rides down into their caves.
That's right, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, did we skip the Indian arrows?
No, we haven't got to that bit yet.
Coming up.
Okay.
No, sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
with the next chase thing.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's the chase.
I've only seen it once.
That's the chase after they get... Yes, directly after this, Cassie throws a...
Wobbler?
A lantern that catches fire, and they run off, they get into a mining car and have their Indiana Jones moment. Then they run across.
Never mind. Will you stop singing over? Oi! Stop singing over Kirby's synopsis. I didn't get any of that. Please start again, Kirby. All right. Don't
I don't know where what you didn't hear.
Nor do I, because I couldn't hear it.
Yes.
Well, about them finding the mine car and having their
Indiana Jones.
Yes, the Indiana Jones bit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Move on from there.
It seemed to be. A collection of a lot of famous movie things, if you notice.
No, there's a few homages, isn't there? We've got E.T.
They crash out of the end of the tunnel, and that's when they run across the Jimmy's granddad or whatever he is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
so,
the Men in Black.
That's it,
yeah. The Alliance of Shades.
You know, something's just occurred cool to me.
Sunglasses.
I've spent you lot have never watched a thing called Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It was a TV series in the 1990s. It was a spin-off from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that.
There was an episode in which the Ferengi characters crash-landed on Earth in the 1940s, and they were... mistaken for being these aliens that were found in Roswell. Did you ever see that?
Mm.
No, I thought it was a really good episode.
No, I didn't.
All right, okay, never mind.
I don't think I have.
Back to Doctor Who. Yes, you were saying they meet up with the robots, which get shot by the arrows of the granddad of Jimmy. The Doctor points out that you know, that they happen to all be shot in exactly the right place.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet
from behind. Those robots looked a bit like the Silence, long arms, long legs.
Yes, they did. Well done. See, this is why we have them on the show, listeners. Spots things like that. And also, Kirby forgot something because it was mention of the Silence. To actually say the what? Never mind.
Well, doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, it took some time, but eventually we get there.
He only got there because of Adam Hill.
So anyway, this is where we meet the other alien. Is it the Mr. Alien or the Mrs. one? I think it was the Mr. one.
Yeah, Mr. No, it's the Mr.
And this is
How they tell themselves apart?
I don't know. Well, there must be someone.
They tell themselves apart?
Than the other.
Must be like trying to tell a male and female fish. Anyway, yeah, so...
Rivesh Mantelak.
Rivesh.
Yeah,
Mantelak.
Right.
Yes.
So, oh, yeah, and this one's in a wheelchair, sort of.
Did anybody notice that this was written by Phil Ford? And
yes,
Phil Ford wrote,
we've noticed wrote, that. And Phil Ford wrote the previous episode.
But it went on well, didn't it?
It did. Right, moving on. Who wrote the previous animation, by the way? The Infinite Quest?
Ooh, Alan Barnes, was it? Was it Alan Barnes?
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, moving on to this, back to this one. So anyway, so we meet the doctor sort of...
You have a photographic memory.
He does. The doctor sort of more or less promises, or is it Cassie? So are the doctor or Cassie promises to reunite the couple romantically? Right, so what happens next?
Well, we get the story of the grey aliens and their battles against the Viperox.
That's right.
And then Stark has followed them to the cave where this particular grey alien is, and everyone's captured and taken back.
That's right. But they're after something, aren't they? Is it the device that the Doctor finds at the beginning of the thing? Are they all after this device, or is it? Or am I? There's something they want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The device from the diner.
Yeah, thought so. Carry on.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm just riveted with Kirby's synopsis. This is much better than I could ever attempt, so I'm just hoping they're going to carry on.
There's the usual back and forth of the Doctor.
That's what she said.
Ooh.
You're going to say the Doctor and Cassie. Well, we know what happened there, because they got 1.5 children.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, slightly sidetracked there. It's just Daphne wasn't on this
one. One of the men in black manages to repair himself and comes in and takes the device.
That's Dread, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
not Judge Dread.
And?
I like the way he glitches out.
The Doctor eventually ends up on the roof and convinces Stark that to be on the whatever the Viperox side is.
He was going
to
drop it, wasn't he?
Yes. And that he should be against the Viperox. Right. And Stark does actually believe him.
And I love the line from the Doctor. Oh, wait, the Viperox have very good hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
David
good.
David comes up and starts roaring. And they let the alien out of the one cage, and she says, "Oh my goodness, husband, you're dying. If I find something from my old crashed ship, we can rescue him or heal him."
Uh-huh. Yes.
And turns out the crashed ship has been pulled apart into lots of pieces, and it happens to be in the same cavern apparently that the Ark of the Covenant is stored in.
Yes. That's what I thought. Very Indiana Jones, isn't it?
Yes.
The Raiders of Lost Ark again.
So the Doctor and the alien, whatever her name is, separate. Yes. Finds the sphere, which happens to be the thing, and turns out they're being tracked by some sort of bees. Flies.
That form a brain looking thing with tentacles.
Scorpius flies. A carnivorous alien species that form a
Do you know what? I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
That's well remembered on the information there, Kirby.
I thought that was excellent. I thought that was really imaginative and original. I was well impressed with that particular idea.
And I like the way you see from its point of view, but you've got the little flies buzzing around it.
That looked excellent.
The screen.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
And now after we've all watched this, we're all going to count the number of steps we've taken whenever we enter an
oh, how true. Yes, how true. Yes.
So that we can all jump into a box and get out of it.
Do you know, that reminded me of the box thing. That reminded me of one of those games where you'd have...
It's
a bit like the Doctor Who game, actually, where she has to push these boxes along. You've not seen that one. The iPhone game.
Yeah, I downloaded it back when I had to pay for it, and I barely ever...
You can either push them or jump on top of them. That's what
is where my favorite line comes from, that some people are born crate, others have crates thrust upon them. I love that.
And Viperox all start hatching and coming out of the ground like Tremors monsters.
Yeah.
I've got an email from Dashney Ashbrook. Sorry, I got a name wrong. Ooh. She said yes. Now, this might upset you lot, though. She's talking about next week. It was all gone very quiet.
What's wrong with next week?
Next Sunday.
So I can probably do it.
Yeah, Sunday would be all right with me.
Okay. I can't do every Sunday, but if I can do it for this.
Oh, would you? Right, no, we'll have to go back an hour, though. We'll have to go back an hour because she wants to do it at 11 a.m. PST, 7 p.m. GMT. So
that's better for me.
Ooh.
Anybody? Any advances on going back an hour?
Well, I don't go to bed, so I'll still
you don't. That's silly.
Are you all right, Reese? This is for Daphne Ashbrook next week.
I'm good.
I'll do it for you, Daphne, if you hear this. And I'm sorry if you've heard the rest of the episode.
Okay, then we're going to try that one.
So next week, 1 hour earlier, right?
Yep, next week, one hour earlier.
We hope her pneumonia is a lot better.
I've already said that.
Better than her old pneumonia. Mm. Old pneumonia.
I will say it's the best excuse for not turning up for a podcast, but it wasn't even going to use it because she was actually there to record the show at 11 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Yep.
So this will be 11 o'clock her time. Okay.
So that's I'm sending now. That will be fantastic. Thanks.
Yeah.
But Reese will have to stay up.
How generous of her.
Robert. Or Robert will have to stay up. Okay, great. That's sorted. Back to the show. Sorry, what were we talking about? Doctor Who, wasn't it?
Something called Dreamland that makes me fall asleep.
Shut up.
The creatures were thrusting their way out of the ground.
Ooh. That's what she said.
That's what she said. Yes,
out of the ground. Guys are hopeful.
Oh yes, because we had some boxes, didn't we? And that's what I remember now. I was talking about Doctor Who games. Got slightly sidetracked there. Kirby, help!
So Cassie and Jimmy go and fetch the TARDIS, and
the TARDIS on the back of a truck. That was really cool.
It would be pretty. Right,
how did they do that?
They got some help.
Precisely.
Suspension of disbelief. It's a science fiction fantasy. No, it's a science fiction fantasy cartoon television show.
It's a cartoon.
I don't care if it's a cartoon. It's related to Doctor Who, and normally they have better plots than this.
What they should have done is they should have got while E. Coyote falling off a cliff and landing and getting up and he's all right.
Yes, this is canon.
Okay. Yeah, of course it's canon. Yes. Carry on.
Is it canon or canon?
The TARDIS.
The doctor takes them in the TARDIS back where they heal.
I bet he does. That's what she said. Sorry, carry on. I couldn't resist that one. Yeah, go on. Transports them in the TARDIS, you meant to say, of course. Because takes them in the TARDIS does sort of allude to other rather inappropriate. Sorry, carry on.
Yes,
have they gone underground yet to find the mother and all of her babies?
Eggs?
That was a long time ago.
Was it? I've done that bit.
That's
do you know what that reminded me of? Do you know
where
that reminded me?
That's where all the creatures came from that just thrust themselves out of the ground.
Yeah, but do you know what that reminded me of when they found all those eggs?
Well, it's another movie ripoff because it's
the Devil
Aliens.
In the Dark.
Yeah, it's Alien or
Devil
Alien.
Devil in the Dark. It reminded me of that.
No, it's Aliens. It's the first one.
Hello, have I disappeared?
Yes.
Oh, good. I can go and whack some podcast presenters.
Ooh. Ooh, right. We'd like to see you try.
Right, I say it reminded me of Devil in the Dark, that bit where they find the eggs.
Oh, Star Trek, yeah.
Yes, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
Yes.
One of my favourite lines from Star Trek.
And Kirby and I were talking about how it's a ripoff of Aliens.
Yeah.
Mother and all of her eggs.
Yeah, but doesn't the doctor talks about aliens, doesn't he? He says alien and aliens. And
well, he says it much earlier on.
Yeah,
Alien,
or aliens, or Die Hard 2, or Die Hard 3.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really good.
He's referencing stuff that Jimmy and Cassie keep going, what are you talking about, Doctor?
And also, it's all stuff that Phil Ford is a big fan of as well, obviously.
Yeah.
The one alien manages to activate the thing, whatever it is, and but not to destroy the Viperox, but the Doctor hooks it up to the TARDIS and drives them away with basically a high frequency sound wave that they can't stand, and
yeah.
Kind of like those ultrasonic insect repellents, I guess.
Yeah, because they wanted to isn't it Stark who wants to destroy the whole lot of them, but he won't have it.
Yeah.
But
it turns out the doctor knows that the Viperox...
They're
going to
evolve into something else. Yeah.
Well, the Doctor uses that technique a lot. Remember in when he was with Catherine Tate and he put the sonic screwdrivers together.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, right, also, he didn't run away bride.
And
oh, that's right. Yeah, he did it there, too.
There was also another little homage to an earlier episode of Doctor Who, where, mysteriously, Jimmy and Cassie get a bit romantic and hold hands at the end of the episode.
Aye, aye.
Where did that happen? And where did they find time for that to happen? Nevertheless, like Leela...
Invasion of time, are you thinking of?
Yeah. It did.
Leela and Andred. Right.
So, have we reached the end of it now?
Basically, and
I've been
and
on the edge of my seat. Sorry,
the Doctor has left them with this big mess that they have to clean up, and who knows how they're going to afford to clean it up.
That's the Doctor for you.
Yeah.
Right. Now I'm going to say my piece. Yeah, I have. The previous time I watched this was it was on. Be quiet. I watched this. It was on the Red Button service. So you'd have to you go on the Red Button. You can watch it at your leisure. So I have got a recording of it from that, which I sort of edited together myself. This is the first time I've watched it as an omnibus thing without all the sort of the joining bits.
And I really enjoyed it. What is a Red Button?
Red Button is a digital interactive service on TV. So, it might have when you're watching your normal TV programs, you have a little sort of red symbol in the corner of the screen. If you press the red button on your remote, you then go into a text menu, which is the interactive menu, and you can watch sort of in-depth things. If you watch the news, for instance, you can go and watch some sort of more detailed news reports on the specific subject. Or if you want to know what the weather is, you can press the red button, you can watch the weather forecast.
Well, how did you know to go to Dreamland?
Because Dreamland wasn't actually shown on a channel at that point. It was just shown on the Red Button service. So there was a new episode of Doctor Who Dreamland is available on the Red Button service now. So basically you press the red button and it would be streaming it. It would then stream
it. So they give you little notices about what's on the red button?
Yeah, in between. The announcer would say in between episodes.
Yeah, and when it was originally on the red button at the very end of the Doctor Who episode that was right before it.
Waters
of Mars. They announced... Okay, I guess so.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we're doing it in this order,
yeah. Mars. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And they announced it at the end of the episode, or it was may have been at the end of The Confidential as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have anything like that over here?
What,
red
button
service?
No.
I've had cable
any red buttons on my remote. I have to turn the TV on and off or record.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah.
You are the two trees.
I can tell you, before you answer your part of it, the BBC sort of have been using it for a while, but it was actually pioneered, as far as I know, by Sky TV, because in the early days of me having a satellite television, when watching sports, for instance, football, you could go in and...
The
different angles, or they'd have the camera on a specific player.
Yeah.
Or if you join the game late, you could go back and watch the previous goals and catch up on the game that way. That was all on the interactive service.
They do have a similar
service.
Thing with that here too, Adam.
They do.
Now they got the digital services.
Yeah, I mean, this is only through satellite then, but now this is available through digital, because all our TV services are now digital. They used to be analog until last year. Now they're all digital, so. Or most of the channels have got some sort of red button service. The BBC's is probably the most diverse. There's more things on it, you can watch and do. I think sometimes there's extra episodes of things on it. It's very good. It's a really good service. BBC's interactive. In fact, the Sky Sports one is not as good as it used to be, because there was a point in which you could watch a football match and they'd have fans commentating on the match instead of your standard football commentators. And having the fans commentate, which was really, really funny, because they'd all be sniping at each other. Very entertaining. Or you could turn the commentary off and just watch it as it is with the crowd noises. So, Anyway, I think I've spoken a bit much about Red Button Services. I don't think, obviously, it's something taken off in America.
The fact that, well, I have it.
There's a dentist in the shop.
Yes.
No, but that is what it sounds like.
This is whichever, my Fantabids toy.
Whichever satellite.
Kirby, just give him a clip round the ear, aren't
I? I've had both both American satellite systems, DirecTV and whatever the other one is. I don't even remember which one we currently have because I don't watch TV. The girls do that, but it's got a similar thing. It's not called Red Button, but it does say press this button for more information. It goes to
the interactive service. Yes, it's basically
it goes to a place where you can get local weather or whatever. So,
okay,
that's excellent. Thank you, Kirby. Anyway, can I say what I thought about the episode now?
No.
Go right ahead.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this. I obviously didn't like it as much first time around, and I got over the bad rendering of the human characters, and enjoyed the vocal performances. Brilliant vocal performances on this whole episode. The acting vocally was,
especially David Tennant.
All round. I mean, even his animated character wasn't too bad. I sort of thought that's a Doctor. Fair enough. It's a shame that George Moffat's sort of animated character didn't add up to her voice, which was great.
No, it made her a bit younger, didn't they?
Yeah, but on the whole, the actual story itself, the way it flowed, it was thoroughly entertaining all the way through. And Isabella managed to watch the whole thing without picking up her 3DS and started playing games, which is what she normally does when her own programs are on. So, although I thought I really did try my luck with her when I immediately decided to put on the Doctor Who movie and she wouldn't have it, so I didn't get to watch the Doctor Who movie at all. So she started grizzling actually when the title started coming up on the screen.
Why was she not interested in the Doctor Who movie?
Because she'd had her fill of Doctor Who for that day.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. But she did, like I say, she found
it.
But yeah, no, I thought it was really good. The music was good, wasn't it? I mean, I thought all round it was bright, it was colourful, it was fast moving, it was fun. There was lots of good lines in it. The story, the dialogue was brilliantly written, I thought. It was a bit sort of camp in some ways, and it was a bit sort of, you know, mwahahaha. But yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. There wasn't a bit where I started thinking, "Oh God, when's this coming to an end?" Yeah. It was just a bit of roller coaster, very very fast moving. But it would be under the circumstances. But I thought they joined it together very well, and yeah, it was good fun. Enjoyed it.
Well, for me,
that was my seat. Ooh, that was my seat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
It was.
Yeah.
When I first got the DVD, I sat down and tried to watch it, and I fell asleep. Then a few months later, I sat down and tried to watch it, and I fell asleep. And then a few months ago, I sat down and watched it, and I fell asleep.
What?
So,
Kirby, is this going somewhere?
Yes. Last night, I managed to not fall asleep, and I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
So you don't use it now as a something to put you to sleep.
Soporific, yeah.
Yes, yeah, good.
I don't know. I guess it was just too late at night or something. Or I tend to watch a lot of Doctor Who late at night.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I get that. I think it might be an age thing. When I think, right, I know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to stay up and watch Southampton play on Match of the Day. And I sit down, I get myself ready, put on the football, and as soon as the match starts, I'm off. Gone. And the same thing happens when I watch Doctor Who. I say, oh, great, I'm going to sit down and watch Doctor Who, and then I'm gone. Because I enjoy it, I relax and fall asleep.
So I watched Dreamland last night, and I watched the Doctor Who movie last night. I watched all the extras for the Doctor Who movie last night, and I started watching Unearthly Child, and that's when I fell asleep.
What?
And about what time did you fall asleep?
one.
Yeah, not very surprised. You've been watching it for about 5 hours solid.
Really?
Have you ever tried watching the War Games from War Games back to back?
Oh my goodness!
10 episodes.
No,
we did. Me and Alicia did that, and Alicia actually kept on asking, "I want to see the next episode. I want to see the next episode." And
well,
that was
brilliant.
We did that in the whole day.
The War Games is brilliant.
Yeah, I agree, and it shows that it's brilliant. The
but
fact that Alicia,
5 hours,
I've just knocked my microphone. What, the War Games? I think if you haven't seen it, Alicia hadn't seen it before, so you know she and.
But that's got a lot of running around and getting captured.
It's good,
and
it's good though. It's lots of mwahaha and sort of sinister music and stuff. Indeed.
Thank you for that.
He was in War Games.
He was in War Games. He was in The Mind Robber.
Deadly Assassin.
Planet of the Daleks. He was in the Planet of the Daleks.
One of
the Thals. He's fantastic. He's a proper icon of Doctor Who, isn't he?
He literally played
the same character with a different name. Apart from when he was Gulliver, slightly different as Gulliver, but yeah. And he always kept his northern accent, didn't he? For the thing.
Was he a deadly assassin?
He was goth.
Yeah, he got into trouble with Mary Whitehouse,
and
didn't he?
He was also the clown that we saw in the puddle.
Was he?
Yeah.
Huh?
Was he?
I think you may have been doing something quite odd.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about now, yes. I bet he probably appeared in another one, but you didn't get to see his face. Talking of faces, did anybody see the picture I posted on Facebook of Spooky Face in the washer?
Oh, in the sheets?
Yeah.
That was really creepy. If you were actually in the room at the time when that was in three-dimensional viewing, and I said to her, I said, Isabella, there's a spooky face in the washing. And she sort of looked up because she was at my sort of angle looking up at it. She went, and ran off. so I had to take a picture of it.
The last photo I saw was your glass of wine, Adam.
Well, you need to go back onto my...
Did you see my reply to that?
Yep, I deleted it, yep. I'm joking. I did see the reply, thank you. But this is more up to date. Click on my timeline and have a look at the spooky face in the washing. Scary. Go on, have a look. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Go on then, Reese. I've been sort of stringing out a little bit because I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, we've got a reverse of the situation that we had with the Planet of the Dead.
Have we?
I thought this had a few good moments, but I thought it was terrible.
What?
I don't know how you can call it terrible. The only thing that's terrible, is the animation of the main human characters in it.
Yeah.
The story itself was actually quite good.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
And
if
your evidence
you,
to support this argument is?
The animation of today, what kids see today in animation, that's pretty rubbishy what's on TV today. This is better than that.
I'm talking about a Doctor Who story. I don't care if it's animated. It's got to live up to a level.
What's bad about the story, then?
It's predictable in terms of it's a typical animation story, and it should live up to a Doctor Who story, like I just said.
It does.
Don't enjoy it. It doesn't.
It does live up to a Doctor Who story. I'm afraid it does.
Science fiction cartoony. It doesn't live up to the story.
Right. I'm going to argue
it does look like a face.
I obviously can't talk you into not enjoying it. Like you can't talk me into not enjoying the Planet of the Dead, but I just don't enjoy it myself.
Right. I have an argument to support my argument. Although I will say,
mine, but it's about opinions.
No, listen to me, please. I'll get cross, and that never happens on this show. What was that funny noise? Let me think. I'm going to go back. Right, Star Trek.
Sound of
drums. So it's a US science fiction show from the 1960s. Star Trek, remember it? It's when the lead actor, when he took his shirt off, he was allowed to look fat and didn't have to have a six pack. Sorry, Bill Shatner, but that is the case. Whenever he had his shirt, he just looked a bit podgy. And that's how a man was supposed to look in the 1960s.
He didn't have
hair on his chest. He shaved his chest. He just was a bit plump. In today's standards, Captain Kirk would have a six-pack.
Well,
anyway, in the 1970s, they brought all the characters back for Star Trek, but they couldn't be bothered to get them into studios. So they made a cartoon. of Star Trek, which I enjoyed. Yeah. I enjoyed the animated Star Trek.
Yeah, there were some excellent stories.
And they
some
bought
of the best.
A holodeck. It was came from those animated cartoons. And when Spock grew from old to young.
Yeah,
no,
the Spock one where we see his childhood was that's considered canon.
Yeah, no, they're all really, really good. I love
those.
Yes, but,
they were. I love that show.
But the animation, the quality of the animation
was
awful.
Rubbish. Yeah.
Yes.
But this is what I'm trying to say. If the story is good, and I believe this story we watched is a really good story, you know, and the animation in some instances was very good. But I gloss over some of that because of the quality of the story, as I did with the Star Trek cartoon series. Does that make sense, Reese? No? Okay, fine.
Yes, it does, but it's all about personal opinions, and you find the story entertaining. I didn't. Like Kirby, I fell asleep the first time I tried to watch it, and I had to try again. I didn't enjoy it.
But did you watch it as an omnibus?
Yes, I watched it as an omnibus.
Four times.
But it's about the right length, isn't it? It's 45 minutes. That's a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've all watched it. There was no padding.
The story doesn't give up to being a Doctor Who.
Yeah, but there was no padding. It was all go. I think it does.
That's what she said.
You may, I don't.
Well, I can't understand why you would think such a thing on this.
Well, I can't understand why you would think such a thing about the Planet of the Dead. It's all
okay. Let's go on for a vote then. Everybody thinks it was actually quite a good Doctor Who story.
We haven't heard
say
from
aye.
The other two anyway.
No, we haven't.
Go on then, Mary. What do you think, Mary?
Mary.
Well,
Mary.
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 Miri, that was a character from Star Trek. Miri, do you remember?
Yeah. Because Infinite Quest really lowered my expectations, I went into it, you know, kind of dreading watching this, because this is the first time I've seen this, and I was actually delightfully surprised, because although the animation wasn't that great, I've seen so much terrible animation in the kids' stuff they have on today that I dismissed rather readily because I got caught up in the story. I enjoyed the story much more than Infinite Quest. And I kind of enjoyed all the little vignettes that they put in this from different classic movies, that, you know, the Indiana Jones and Aliens and all that. I was really getting off of it. And even the characters, even though Reese found them predictable, I think they were, but they were iconic, kind of, you know, what you expect in science fiction movies. So, and I knew that it was
stereotypes.
Stereotypes. But but you know, I mean, you could just kind of settle back and I don't mean going brain dead, meaning you go to sleep, but you just enjoy the story. And yeah, you know, all the chases and that.
I couldn't stop
myself. but you know, I enjoyed it. I thought Georgia Moffat did a great American accent. It took me most of the way through it to realize
she's half American.
But still, you know, it took me more than half the story to realize, wait a minute, you know, this is a British actress. My vote is that I liked it.
Thank you. Okay, so we move on to Mr. Robert Haynes.
I totally agree, because I was the same. I had this DVD since it came out, since it was released. And I put off watching it. I hadn't watched The Infinite Quest, by the way. It was only when we reviewed it last time that I watched that. And I guess I was the same as Mary coming to this one thinking, oh, you know, this one's going to be a bit naff as well. But as soon as I started watching it,
I'm going to get onto the series and season argument in a minute.
No!
Well, there's no season, so let's move on.
Let's move on. Sorry, Robert, carry on.
But I did up. Like the animation. I thought it was quite good, apart from for the humans, that's all. But I enjoyed the movie references as well.
And I have to say that Kirby made a comment at the beginning saying that he would watch this again, and I'd say I would watch this again.
I would
be averse to putting it on and watching it. I enjoyed it. Sorry, Reese, carry on.
Unlike Infinite Quest.
Sorry, Robert, not Reese. Sorry, you're in the same sort of area, and your names start with R, so I was easily going to get confused.
Fair enough.
Australian. But yeah, I'd watch it again, and unlike the Infinite Quest, which I would not watch again.
I would probably steer clear of the Infinite Quest. Never. You liked the Infinite Quest, didn't you, Reese?
I preferred the animation style.
What about the story?
I liked the performances.
Oh, God.
The story was F2, like this one.
You can only enjoy the picture so long. You know, there's got to be a story.
Yes. Well, yes. So I think, listeners, we don't advocate bullying on this show, but we have rather ganged up on Reese here because we're all right.
Like with the Planet of the Dead, but you're wrong.
Oh, let's see what other people have to say about it.
Well, we will do. As of course, it's the 150th episode. We've got loads of feedback.
Can I just justify where I stand on this?
Go on then, Reese.
You already?
Go on. Justify it. And we'll unjustify it.
But the thing I don't like about, say, the Colonel's character is that he's the typical, oh, I'm the gruff, evil Colonel, I'm going to do terrible things to you, and then by the end of it, oh, look, I'm not that bad, I'm talked into saving the world. And then the villains...
He did change his mind pretty quickly, didn't he?
I agree.
I would argue about pretty quickly. I think the villain made a good argument.
I agree he did change his mind quickly, but not every little aspect of every story is perfect, and that is a minor detail, but you've got to bear in mind the speed of the story and how it's supposed to be delivered in seven-minute episodes.
Didn't the character kind of look like George C. Scott from Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I agree.
He played Patton, too.
Just to interrupt just for a second, but Elizabeth Peloso, soon to become Elizabeth Keep, has posted a picture on Facebook of, it says, what a kid drew on the front of his test booklet. This is a sort of a rudimentary Dalek with a great big exterminate coming out of the book, which I think is really rather cool. And Wendell Dewman seems like an instant a material. I don't know what I mean. A material? I don't know what he's on about. But anyway, yeah, he said that. Sounds like a good enough Wendell voice. Seems like an.
Yeah. Where has this been posted?
I can't do Wendell anymore.
Yeah, where is this? I don't see
Facebook.
It.
It's a social networking site. Facebook.
www.facebook.com.
Where on Facebook?
Well, maybe it's
well, if you're friends with Elizabeth Peloso, you'll be able to see it.
See, we're not friends with her. So
well, there you go. I do apologise. People who are friends with Elizabeth Peloso will see it.
We're going to be accused of not.
I do wish I hadn't mentioned it now. So, Stephen Shapansky is 38 years old today. He's the producer of some podcast that claims to be one of the oldest and longest and
podcast.
He's 38 years old, so I'm gonna. You'll never heard of us, so I'm going to just say happy boop. Oh, blast. I've cocked it up. B-I-R-T. Birthday. Love from the 20-megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Ooh, that's not how you spell podcast. Cool.
Podcast. You know, you almost sound like...
Kiss.
You know Cat Weasel? The,
yep. There you go. I've sent it. Also, who the hell's that? But there you go. Sorry, Cat Weasel.
No, you remember the guy in it who spoke like a country farmer?
No, I don't. Anyway.
You almost sounded like that.
Thank you for that.
He was in Mind of Evil.
Was he?
Remember?
No.
Yeah.
and speaking of other podcasts, I want to bring up fairly popular podcast that I don't know if you want me to name it, but they were congratulating themselves on the first
Doctor
time.
Who podcast, yes.
Okay, they were very pleased with themselves for having, for the first time, set up a Skype call with one person from America, one person from England, and one person from Australia. They thought that was a pretty big deal, and all I could think of is, well, you know, get with it. We've been doing it for how long?
We've been doing it for how long, Mary? That's what she said. I'll tell you what, Mary does lead us into innuendo. Inadvertently, brilliantly.
I know. It's all around me. I step in it every time.
I bet you do.
That's what she said.
Now you've made me forget what I was going to say now. Oh, we're talking about the Doctor Who podcast and their alleged trying to make out that they were the first to do something. Yes, that's not the first time the Doctor Who podcast has nicked ideas of us, and it won't be the last. And also, I'm a bit shocked in some ways that one member of the Doctor Who podcast team, that's Lise and Fisher, didn't mention to them, oh, the 20 megabyte podcast, been doing that for ages. As of course, Leeson is a friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
And he appeared on this show before he appeared on the Doctor Who podcast. By way of feedback from Radio Rassilon. But yes, thank you for that, Mary. That doesn't surprise me, them.
And you know,
next
else?
Minute, they're going to get somebody from Australia going, Adam, Adam. Just to copy us.
You said
Australia. You know something else, though?
Yes.
We have two people from different sides of Australia, so different time zones as well.
Different time
also
zones.
In the US, there's two different time zones.
Right, correct, right.
There's several.
How about that?
Oh, yes, that's true.
So
yes,
they were only dealing with three.
We've done something that they've never done.
Yeah.
We've done all those time zones plus Russia.
Yes, that's true.
So, and next week, you're going to include another time zone.
Hopefully.
From the other side of the state.
If none of the clocks go backwards and forwards and completely Skype my scoop. I can't even speak.
Skype
my scoop. Scupper my Skype. Do you try saying that when you've had a few cokes?
What was it?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for Mary's next innuendo lead-in.
Here it comes.
Oh, that's what she said.
Well, so then, Adam, you'll have the unique distinction of tying in, if this does succeed next week, the most time zones of any podcast ever.
Well, we've already done that when we had the Russians on.
Yeah.
Because the Russians were in two separate time zones anyway, when we had them on.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, oh, what's that supposed to mean?
I meant whoa.
Oh, sorry. Whoa. Sorry. A bit of a Skype missed the wuh part of the O then, made it sound like oh.
Oh.
Right, calm down. Just take your pills.
The Verity podcast does quite a number of different countries at once.
The Verity podcast? Never heard of them.
No, not at once. Not at once.
Did you call Kirby Reese?
I did call him Reese.
The Verity podcast is very interesting. It's basically a podcast version of, what was that book?
Chicks Dig Time Lords.
I see.
Well, I know, but they tape different segments. Different people taped segments in different places and send them all in.
Yeah.
So it's not all happening at once.
Nah.
Oh, it's an app of podcasting. I see.
It is. Yeah. Well, I'm just having a look down.
An app is something from the 1940s and 50s in science fiction fandom called an Amateur Press Association, where people would write little newsletters, send them into a central editor who would then send them out to all the members.
Yeah, that's cool. How Verity works.
Fascinating.
How did I know that? I used to belong to the oldest APA that still was around. It lasted like 40-some years. I wasn't in it for 40-some years. I was only in it
for
the last six or so.
Otherwise, that will really scupper the ideas that Radio Free Sky are the longest-running Doctor Who podcast.
What?
Anyway, never mind.
What?
The listeners heard me, if nobody
Somebody
else.
Did
right.
A tenant presentation.
You know, I've just gone. Be quiet. I've just gone onto the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance site. I haven't been there for a while. We're still top of the list on their little right hand side corner of active podcasts.
Yay.
You go down, which is nice to see that. Let's see the podcasts that are currently still being released on the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance instead of doing the charts. Radio Free Skaro. I haven't heard of this one. It's called The Liberating Podcast. Oh, it's about Blake Seven, with lots of things.
Hmm.
Bigger on the Inside, my favourite podcast.
That's what she said.
Staggering Starries. Oh, no, Staggering Star... Oh, I don't know.
Starries.
Yeah. Oh, no. The Preacher's Podcast, featuring Daphne Ashbrook.
What?
They think they've nicked one of our ideas. Pharos Project...
Stop swearing.
Ghosts of In Space, which is an episode of the Doctor Who Book Club podcast. Flashing Blade. Still in Series 1, I think.
Series 1?
Ms. Siobhan Galison.
Siobhan.
as having the idea of having a series of the Flash and Blade didn't quite work, as they're never ever going to move to series two.
They can't, it's just one podcast.
Yeah, there's a point in having series one, episode 141. This silliness. Who is the... I can't read the text on there. Some podcast there. Dweebly episode one. What that's all about. Reese, you know, have you ever heard of the... Who is the... man? Oh, man.
Woman.
Who is the man podcast?
Woman. Woman podcast.
You ever heard of that one? Woman podcast?
No, I haven't. No.
You haven't? But it just says here that Dweebly episode one, the aired pilot. In this first episode of Dweebly... I have a nerdy talk with Sandro JF from an improbable podcast about the adult comic book movie.
Ooh.
Dread.
Ooh.
That adult stuff,
Dweebly.
Huh?
But Reese isn't an adult yet.
I know.
Yeah, but what's this Dweebly? What's that all about then?
Haven't you been listening to my show?
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
I can.
I listen to the Bigger on the Inside show, and occasionally listen to Doctor Who podcasts.
Basically, I'm giving myself a break from having to watch too many Doctor Who episodes a week because I have to watch them for this show and Who is the Man.
But
so I'm going.
You don't have to watch anything.
But it says Who is the Man. It's got a picture of Matt Smith on the picture, and it says it rather implies there's a Doctor Who podcast.
It's going to be 1 week a Doctor Who podcast, 1 week a general science fiction one, so I don't have to.
I think you need to have a word with your showrunner. Who might get some feedback in regards to, I'm going to listen to this Doctor Who podcast. It's called Who is the Man? It's got a picture of Matt Smith on it, and it's a Dweebly podcast. He's gone all
quiet.
Have
a word with my showrunners.
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm going to get some feedback from Adam about...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, me. I'll address that with myself.
I'm sure it'll be fine. But anyway, so that was just a rudimentary way of me allowing you to plug your show again. Right then, the Tin Dog Podcast.
Thank you.
The Geek Syndicate. Tim's Take On. I didn't realise that was still going. Earth Station 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mostly Harmless Cutaway. I recognise some of these names. Transmission from Atlantis. What's that got to do with Doctor Who? Podcast
know.
Discuss the anniversary year. That's the Casturbus podcast. The Memory Cheats, Dirty Hooers, Drunken Time Travel. I'm surprised they're still fit enough to do a podcast because they're always drunk doing it. The Who cast from Germany. Do you remember them? No.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Us would.
I've just knocked my microphone. Who station? Hang on, what? Oh, Earth Station 1 again. Oncoming Storm, 2 Minute Time Lord, The Colton Collective, Verity Episode 3. There we go, that's that podcast you're on about.
Episode
3,
yeah.
It's good, you should listen to it.
The Doctor Who Podcast, Crinoid Podcast.
A Doctor Who Podcast.
No, it just says The Doctor Who Podcast.
wrong there.
The Doctor Who Podcast getting something wrong? I'm astounded. Actually, they got something right the other week because Tom was going on about Genesis of the Daleks, and everybody tries to just say that Genesis of the Daleks is the best Doctor Who episode ever, story ever, because they say so or whatever. And he put the argument, a very good argument, that it isn't actually as good as people make it out to be. And I have to agree. I find it quite boring. It just goes on a bit too long for me. I just wish it was a four-parter, not a six-parter.
I did not enjoy it that much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what I say about Dreamland.
It drags on and on.
No.
It is good. It's good. It's just too long.
I had to watch it one episode at a time because watching the whole thing was just making me buzz out.
It's also not as good as people make it out to be because Case of Androzani is infinitely better.
Make it out to be.
No, it's infinitely better than Genesis of the Daleks. But what I will say is that Genesis of the Daleks is Terry Nation's second best Dalek story.
Which is his first, then? You say the original.
Every other Dalek
story. The Daleks is the first one, because that is astounding, and it is the show that made Doctor Who, or give it the foundations to be 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I like Genesis of the Daleks. It's not one of the best, but I
do.
Yeah, I like it.
Except for that rubbish giant clam.
Like it. I'm just saying it's not the best. Like people make it out to be, it's not the best.
But it's got to be the definitive Davros, though.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Traveling the Vortex and the Minute Doctor Who podcast, and then it's us. And I'm not going to say anything else about... But the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance is a real... I'll start again. The Doctor Who podcast is a really good place to find the best Doctor Who podcasts.
Can I just mention something about Genesis before you move on?
You can.
No, that it was actually one of the, probably the second one to treat the Daleks in a non-jokey manner, wasn't it? After the Daleks, because they sort of went downhill a bit.
Well, I agree. Yeah. They got them back on track with it.
Yeah.
But there was a few.
They treated them seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a few. Bear in mind, right? Terry Nation wrote this story. Terry Nation wrote the Daleks.
He
changed things. If you look at the Daleks, there was no mention of Khalids.
No.
It just changed things a bit too much in relation to the history of the Daleks, in relation to what he'd already written, we'd already seen.
Sounds a little familiar about the Weeping Angels.
Maybe so.
Yes.
But it is good. It's just not as good as people make it out to be.
Oh, yeah. I still hold it in my top 10.
I don't know. I'd have to reassess that one.
Well, the thing about having top 10 lists and favourite episodes and all that, like Tom from a Doctor Who podcast says, although they like to call it the Doctor Who podcast, like you said, it's all personal opinions, and you can't say that this is the best story ever, true. Because to you it is. To someone else, it could be the worst. Yeah. So that's the problem with
have to give a nickname to the Doctor Who podcast called the Pretentious Podcast, maybe.
Let's hope they don't hear this, hey?
Do you really think they're likely to listen to this show? But have a look, haven't they? Do give us stuff to talk about. Them credit for that. And I do listen to them because it is a good show.
They do give me stuff to shadow my iPod disagreeing with them about.
Yes, they are so good at disagreeing. Basically, their love of Moffat and their hatred of RTD is so blind it's ridiculous. Right. Because I love both of them, to be fair, in the different ways. Mm. But Bernard Horsfall, 1930 to 2013, as we said earlier on, legendary figure, now no longer with us, and it's such a sad thing to lose him in the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, as it would be with any of, I suppose, you know, big names, but he's very iconic.
It also must be a disappointment for those going to Gallifrey, because he just announced that he was going to go there a few weeks
absolutely,
ago,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, indeed.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Mm.
The BBC has announced that actor David Bradley, who obviously was in the Dinosaurs on a Spaceship episode, will play William Hartnell. What a superb bit of casting.
Excellent.
I mentioned he would make a good William Hartnell somewhere along the line.
Reese and I had a little argument recently over
it.
You did?
Went him for half an hour, I think.
In the upcoming...
What was this about?
Docudrama, an adventure in time and space, detailing events leading to the creation of Doctor Who 50 years ago. Now, I was thinking...
Robert, all I was doing was saying, oh, I thought he was going to play the Doctor in Dinosaurs and the Spaceship when I saw a trailer for that, and it was just a throwaway comment, but I failed to left enough grammar in there for Kirby to be happy, and so he started picking on how I structured the sentence, and he didn't realise what I was saying. And you can see that on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Plug, plug.
Right.
Thank you very much. Plug, plug. So that's a good bit of casting, that. But I'm really looking forward to this docudrama.
Change.
Pardon?
No.
It's Adventures in Time and Space. An adventure in time and space.
I
got it wrong. An adventure in space and time.
In time.
Yes, I'll get it right eventually.
I just wondering where you're up to, that's all.
Oh, never mind, I'll carry on. Some castings, which looks like Brian Cox and some other bloke and some very nice-looking bird. It's Jessica Raine. Oh, she plays Verity Lambert. I've seen her in something else. I'm going to have to Wikipedia her because I recognise her. That's right. I tell you what, that's a blooming good series, that is.
Oh, it is.
Call the Midwife. Oh, watch the most recent episodes. Fantastic stuff. Great drama, great storytelling. But, of course, they're based on true, actual events, so they would be good.
Adam?
Call the Midwife.
Call the Midwife.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Brilliant.
What's a number?
You're funny.
I wouldn't mind getting the DVD box set.
I wouldn't mind getting the Blu-ray box set. Anyway, DVD update. Ice Warriors / Mind of Evil back in
December. Did you read about the Ice Warriors, though?
Is it on the article I'm just about to read?
Yep.
I'll carry on then. Back in December, the BBFC classified a trailer for the second Doctor story, Ice Warriors. This trailer has now been confirmed for the forthcoming Aztecs Special Edition DVD, though it should be noted, as the name implies, the trailer illustrates a release that is coming soon, Restoration Team member Steve Roberts clarified. I think you'll find the Ice Warriors has moved further back in the schedule. These things happen. It's one of the reasons we no longer put coming soon on the trailers. Now it's simply Doctor Who on DVD. So there you go. But I'm looking forward to when that... Is there a hint they might be doing some reconstructive cartooning on that particular story?
I don't know.
I do hope so, because it's a really good story.
You see the thing at the bottom there, where it talks about, meanwhile, the colour restoration becomes the second mind of evil is almost complete. Talks about episodes 2 and 6 that needed the chroma dot information to restore the original. Oh, that's where they take the black and white and somehow get colour from that. Talking about Stuart Humphreys and Peter Crocker. Stuart Humphreys is otherwise known as Babel Colour. I was just reading on his Facebook page.
I know who Babel Colour is. I had no idea that was him. Really?
Yeah. And I was reading, because I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he was talking about that he just finished something, so maybe that's what he was talking about, the work that he's done on Mind of Evil.
Maybe so.
That says it's coming out.
He puts together March. He puts together excellent YouTube videos.
He's brilliant, isn't he? Yeah, yes. Absolutely brilliant. His editing is just spot on. He's released in parts of The Ten Doctors, is it called? Which he released in 10-minute parts, where he takes segments like, say, the gel guards from The Three Doctors and puts them in other scenes.
Right.
And builds up scenes of putting all 10 Doctors in like a big anniversary story. And he's just taken scenes and parts of elements of scenes and replaced them and made it his own 10 Doctors story using existing dialogue, etc. And just the way he's edited it, it's absolutely brilliant.
Cool.
But
anyone else think that Robert's audio is kind of weird right now?
Yeah, it is, but we've just put up with it.
Jumpy.
It's jumpy.
I don't know what that's at.
I think it's because you've got what's known in the podcasting trade as a terrible internet connection. But we love you, Robert, so we put up with it.
I am with the best internet connection in Australia.
Have you?
With Telstra. Telstra's the best company to be with.
Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that, Rhys?
Yes, I would, but sometimes if you're doing too much or if you've been using the internet too much, it does get a bit jumpy on Skype.
You don't? Much?
It depends who's using up the bandwidth as well.
So who else in your house is using up the bandwidth?
My son.
Which house? My house or his?
Right. Your son's in serious trouble with this podcast. Yeah. I love the way Mary agreed.
People waking up for the day, so they're starting up all their internet.
Well, I basically got the gist of what you were saying, so that's fine. We'll get up to on this little thing we do.
I don't know.
Above, yeah.
Oh yes, there's Big Finish made it known that there's a Doctor Who story coming out that which features Tom Baker, Mary Tam, and K-9.
Who do you know that,
Master?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There's six or seven stories.
I just thought the cover. The cover was really, really good. I just really impressed with the cover artwork for that particular story.
But you know how they did the Louise Jameson one, which you got the Destination Nerva was one of the episodes.
Yes.
Because that's part of a six episode series.
Yeah.
But they're doing the same thing with Mary Tam, so she's got about. After the antimatter, there's, I think, about five or six more stories, and that's, I think, all they got out of her. But next year, they'll be doing Louise Jameson again.
Cool.
Another series.
Anyway, right. There's been a trailer released, which is a Red Nose Day trailer. Have we seen this?
Yes, I posted it on Facebook on Friday.
And that's where I saw it.
Is it a visual or a sort of mainly speaking trailer?
Well, it's all sorts of people saying, how will you do something funny for money? And it features Matt Smith is in it. David Tennant can be seen, although you have to look for him. He looks like he's visiting a hospital someplace. And Rowan Atkinson, who was also the Doctor non-canonically, is in it as well.
Curse of the Fatal Death.
All right, don't argue
about
the
Curse
title.
Of the Fatal Death.
Curse of the Fatal Death. Right.
As soon as you start saying Curse of Black Spot, I'll stop saying the there.
I'll do it. What's happening
there? Echo.
Yeah, you will do, because I'm just about to play some audio feedback. In our rather massive.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, episode 150. This is in Kirk. 150, and I think I am in half of them.
Yes.
Prepare them for the mind wipe. Dreamland by Phil Ford. This is set in the 1950s. It is a bit like Back to the Future, in that the Doctor makes references to our culture that the other characters do not understand.
But Back to the Future.
This is set in the USA. That does not cost any more in a cartoon. The Doctor mentions Star Wars, and then later they escape from the soldiers in the spaceship, like a scene from Star Wars. Cassie Rice, the female lead, is played by Georgia Moffat, who played Jenny in The Doctor's Daughter.
That is correct.
In that, she is a soldier, and here she is imprisoned by the soldiers. Lisa Bowman plays a female alien. She was in the Sylvester McCoy story, Survival, the one where people turned into cats. She also plays Bernice Summerfield in the Big Finish audio episode.
That is correct, too.
Tim Hauer plays Jimmy Stalking Wolf. Jimmy falls over and gets captured, a role that the female companions played in the old days.
Yeah, that's right.
How true.
I don't think the Viprox ever were going to attack Russia. That was just a trick to get the army to help them get the weapon.
That's what she said.
The resolution has the Doctor using his screwdriver to turn a biological weapon into a sound weapon and then amplifying it. I'm still not sure how many episodes there will be this year. BBC Wales are keeping a tight lid on things.
Oh dear.
What is the difference between this year's Doctor Who and The Waters of Mars? Fewer leaks.
Pictures.
Perhaps you will have pictures in your head.
Only one ever told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough.
I'm your father.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother. Yes, I am.
Are you my mummy?
Okay.
That was a little journey, wasn't it?
Bruce wrote on Facebook about that.
Yes.
Oh dear, fewer leaks, and Ian says. You are lucky I did not add a joke about whales and leaks. Oops. He says I also removed the joke for decency. The Doctor knows Jenny like the back of his hand.
I'm trying to guess where he got that EastEnders clip from, which I referred to in an early episode of this podcast.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Which was, of course, Michelle Ryan and doing this. Oh, never mind. I'm going to go. I can't even remember Cat Slater's actress's name.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know her name either.
Yeah, but he must have got that from YouTube, because it's not the sort of thing you'd keep on DVD, is it? Let's face it. Right. That's about it for news, would I? I do rather envy these people, obviously, that Daphne mentioned she's going to Galley in a couple of years. Maybe in a couple of years as well, you never know. But because, of course, something I'd always like to go to, but never will unless...
I tend to try and
I win the
shut
lottery.
Down when I hear about Gallifrey.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Really, all the other podcasts to get together and ignore the fact that we exist, and because we never go to things like that. Mary, can you go to Galley 1 year to just so as we can get some sort of? Because you live next door to it, don't you?
live next door to who?
Los
Angeles.
LA, what's it called again, the airport?
Marriott,
that's it. LA Marriott Airport. Suddenly next door to you, isn't it?
I don't think so. What are you getting at?
I'm saying you live a bit nearer it than I do.
I stayed at that hotel on my way back from China the third when we got our third daughter.
You did?
Yes. Uh-huh. There was no Gallifrey in there. But...
No, that's a shame.
You just wandered the empty halls and dreamed about it being...
No, there. I was sleeping.
I like staying in hotels. I like the little tea making facilities. I like the TV.
I like TV too.
I like going out and getting a Chinese meal and bringing it in and eating it with a massive great bottle of wine and getting completely. that will be edited out. I do like hotels, as you can imagine. I'm heading towards the zone when you've had nowhere near enough sleep and I'm starting to sort of dream whilst I'm awake.
tell him, Robert. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. No feedback from anybody else, but I suppose was expecting a little bit too much. We've lost a member in the group. Went down from 131 to 130. So things are looking on a bit of a downturn at the moment at the 20 megabyte podcast. Maybe people are looking for 150 episodes. That's far too many.
But you've been here for 150 episodes, and that's pretty amazing.
Or not, as a case, maybe.
How many years is that, Adam? When did you start? What year?
Oh, I can't remember. So long ago now. 2.5 years ago?
A long, long time ago.
Yeah, something like that. It's been a long,
far away.
Long, long time. That's a song with the Beatles, by the way. yeah, let me... interrupting me for a change. Mm-hmm. If you want to send feedback into the show, that'd be really nice. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I said that's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. If you'd like to float our numbers back up in the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, it's the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group on Facebook. And if you'd like to know anything about Twitter and stuff like that, look at the show notes, because all our Twitter addresses are there. Would you call me?
Yeah. No. I said if you want to find the Twitter addresses, look for a twit.
I was going to say, I thought you said that. Okay. Never mind. Anyway, right. So next week we'll be looking at, I'm giving you a few days to prepare yourself, along with the possible interview with Daphne Ashbrook. We'll be looking at the wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, which stars Elizabeth Sladen.
I wonder what happens in that story.
David Tennant. Eh?
I wonder what happens in that story.
And somebody from Coronation Street called Nigel Havers.
Oh, God.
And I'm just going to Google it.
He's also in a Big Finish one as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he's just about. I think he's just left Coronation Street actually, because we had the big, big fight finale story with him in it. The big revenge story. That was really good actually. I did enjoy that scene when E.T. Sorry, Gail, finally got her comeuppance. Gail, of course, played by Helen Worth, who was in a Doctor Who story way back in 1971.
Oh, what story is that?
It was
John Pertwee's story, obviously.
Yes, it was Colony in Space.
Oh.
Yes, I think it was the first time that Joe Grant was able to travel in the TARDIS away from Earth.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Was it the second time? I can't remember now.
Away from Earth. It was the first from Earth, yeah.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, next week, The Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith. What I just happen to have on DVD, so I'm quite lucky. So please, everybody,
I have it on DVD too.
What about
you?
I
have it on request at the library.
Oh, are you going to be able to get it in time?
I hope so.
That's what she said.
I tried to get the Doctor Who movie, but every copy they had was out.
What? Oh. Have another week?
Yeah, another week. So we got Sarah Jane's Adventures. Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, starring Elizabeth Sladen, Tommy Knight, Daniel Anthony, Angie Mahindra, Alexander Armstrong, indeed, John Leeson, David Tennant,
I wonder who he plays.
Paul Mark Davis, Nigel Havers, Nina Anwar, Ace Batty, who played a brilliant baddie in Ace Batty, who played a brilliant baddie in EastEnders, and Xenia Merton. There we go.
Xenia Merton, who was in, what was she in? She was in Marco Polo. She's also in Space 1999.
Thank you. Who's like Space 1999?
I watched. Speaking of Ace, I watched the Greatest Show in the Galaxy the other day. I liked it.
Yeah, and wasn't that a good stunt where he comes out of the tent and he gets blown up?
There's some good things in it, but it's okay.
Yeah, I find it really just kind of creepy and I don't know.
Actually earned a little bit more of appreciation for that, having watched the documentary on how it was made and the efforts of John Nathan Turner, who was always being slated by Doctor Who fans. The efforts that man went to actually make that episode, or get that episode filmed with the strikes that were going on. Story. You know,
there's multiple episodes, so
all right. Story to
the fatal death,
but I look at it with a bit more sort of affection now. I know, or, you know, the fact that if it weren't for JNT, we wouldn't have that episode. You know, there's some good bits in it. It's a bit cheesy in some ways, though. Yes, and the rap is terrible.
Having, you know, how you just said that you've appreciated watching the documentary.
Yes,
I just say this because it was brought up about the Aztecs being on in BBC America, and people are saying how it's a bit slow and you have to adapt to that.
I love the Aztecs.
Which is true. Uh-huh. But what I found is that when you watch the behind the scenes or listen to the commentary, watch the infotext as you're watching, I get a better appreciation for the episode than when they were on VHS and I, for example, watching the Aztecs for the first time when I did on VHS. I actually appreciate it more on DVD when you see all the extras.
Well, sure. These episodes move so slowly that they give you time to read the infotext.
Very good.
That is true.
We couldn't have an episode without one of the dogs flapping his ears, and it's Star the tiara wearer. Decided to
I'm currently watching.
And she's wandering around my cables as well. Sit down.
I'm watching The Chase with infotext, and I'm finding it, you know, very interesting because of the infotext.
Do you know the only thing annoying about The Chase? The DVD release,
The accent that Peter Purvis puts on for...
No. Yeah. Well, Dill, whatever his name is. They actually changed a shot, which didn't make sense when they filmed it, because suddenly it's a scene at night time, and the shot was originally, when they show the Dalek, it's suddenly daytime. They've actually darkened the scene for the DVD release. But there is no option to watch it as it was originally filmed.
And also the fact that on subsequent... are we talking about The Chase? Releases, you don't get to the Beatles performing Ticket to Ride.
Do you see it on this, though? Yeah. Because that was filmed on Top of the Pops, wasn't it?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to draw a close to this show.
I'll get you a pencil.
Grief, I'm just checking. Oh, big finish,
Sharpie.
There's a rather interesting sounding release coming on Big Finish called The Wrong Doctors, which stars Colin Baker.
It's already been released.
I know. I'm just saying it sounds like a really interesting story. And a Bonnie Lang Ford.
Yes.
I might get it on offer. So that's it then. Thanks everybody for being on the show this week. Sorry Daphne couldn't be on. Hopefully she'll be on next week, and of course that means we're going to record on a Sunday again.
And hopefully she gets well soon.
Sunday.
Which means, of course, that means I suppose we'll have to record on the following Sunday as well, just to get things back on track.
I
was kind of hoping that doing Sunday next week would kind of throw us into a new cycle.
Oh yes.
Because every Sunday that we record is also, not every, but every other, is one that I'm on call.
Oh.
So I'm either scrambling to find people to cover me like I had to today, or I can't be here, so...
Okay. Well,
but if we can go off that pattern a little bit, then that would make it better.
We'll see what Kirby says. He's the boss.
he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
He pretty much ran the show today.
He made me cancel an episode 1 week because I forgot that I was in charge. I can't do this one. Oh, I will cancel the show. And then afterwards, I could record it myself anyway.
that wasn't my fault.
I know, but that wasn't your fault. It's me thinking because you couldn't be on it that we couldn't have the show. And I thought afterwards, what a stupid person I am. Never mind. That's probably because I hadn't had much sleep, as I haven't tonight. Will you stop flapping your ears, for God's sake?
Sorry,
I've got to try, and I'm going to go and have a drink and have a very late night tonight because I'm so tired. But
sounds like you've already had a drink.
No, the wrong doctor's drink is
expensive for just a two disc 2 hour thing. Yeah,
I'd like to thank Dr. Phil for his help on the show for future episodes of the 20 Megabyte podcast.
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
I don't sound very enthusiastic, but I'm just so tired that I can hardly move my mouth. Thank you, Dr. Phil.
Although Robert was tired before you.
Yes.
anyway, right, so that's
and it. I didn't get a very good sleep on Saturday night either.
Did you not? I do apologise for that. And until next week, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.